You can take your Bibles and go to the Gospel of Mark, if you would. Mark chapter 11. And I'm going to share on believing tonight. In order for me to get to believing, I want to take my time and give you the context and an understanding of Mark chapter 11. So, let me turn my Bible there. Matthew, Mark, okay. And Mark 11 refers to the spring of the year. Pretty close to where we are, maybe a little bit into April. That's where Mark 11 is set, in the spring of the year. Mark 11 is a Friday. It's not only a Friday, its date is the 9th of Nisan. The 9th of Nisan. And on this particular day, in this particular gospel, the Gospel of Mark records the first entry of the Lord Jesus Christ into Jerusalem. This chapter and forward is going to begin to enter into the very last week of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. The record that's contained in Mark 11 is also in the parallel Gospels of Luke and John. In Luke chapter 19, verses 29 through 44, and in John chapter 12, verses 12 through 19, you can read the identical record of what we're going to read tonight in Mark 11. Mark 11 is 5 days before the Passover. And that roughly corresponds to our month of April. Okay? So we know the time of year. We know the day. We know it's before the Passover. We know it's going to happen. And this is where Jesus Christ is at. And in verse 1, it says, "And when he came nigh to Jerusalem, unto Bethpage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth 2 of his disciples. And he saith unto them, Go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as you be entered into it, you shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, Why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him thither. And they went their way, and he found the colt tied by the door without in a place where the two ways met. And they loosed him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, Why do ye, or what do ye, loosing the colt? They said unto him, and they said unto them, Even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus, and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees, and strawed them in the way. And they that went before, and they that followed, cried, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. And when he had looked around about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out to Bethany with the what?
12.
Okay. This ends the first entry into Jerusalem. So let's go over what we saw. It says that he asked for a colt, whereon never a man sat. That particular colt belonged to the temple. Animals were donated to the temple for the work of the Lord, and they were kept in the outskirts away from the temple. So if anyone who was in service to God had need of that, it didn't belong to man, it belonged to God. And all that person would need to say is that the Lord hath need of him. And they were able to use that animal. The words, never a man sat, show ownership and service with regards to these animals. That God owned it, never a man, and that they were there for the service of God. It doesn't say it was a kangaroo. It doesn't say that it was a badger. It says it was a colt. It was a colt. And a colt is indicative of judgment. And you go through the Word of God, you can see that there was a time in a period of God's Word where Israel was ruled by judges. And these judges would ride upon colts. They would ride upon white colts, as a matter of fact. And when you saw the white colt coming, you knew that that was a judge of Israel on that animal. And a judge of Israel was set there to judge the people and have them live accordingly. Jesus Christ came to Jerusalem the first time on a colt. On a colt. And he came in judgment. It says that they spread their garments in the way. That's what it says. This was customary for the procession of a king. When royalty was to come into your town, or when there was a king coming through, the people would take their garments and they would put them in the way, so that the king's carriage and his procession could walk over them. Years ago, which you'll probably never see again as long as you live, unless you watch a Clark Gable movie, a man who was a gentleman would put what? Over water. Did you ever see that?
Yes. He has to wash it.
You never saw that happen? Did you ever hear that before? You're a puppy. To show, he would lay out his coat and the lady would walk over it and
yes.
There you go. It ain't happening anymore. That's right. But this is probably derives from this Bible custom. That's what they used to do. And in doing this, they displayed to the king, to the one riding, great honor and esteem. That's what they wanted to do. They wanted to bless them. They want them to know that how much they love them and what they thought of them. Mark also tells us that they cut down branches. And it says that they strawed them in the way. They strawed them in the way. Now, I had mentioned that Luke and John, and further on you're going to see Matthew also, but not in this particular segment, this session, this area here, that they also cover this account. So here in Mark, you only see that they cut down branches. But you can go to John chapter 12, and if you look in verse 13, John adds some more information. And he tells us that those branches were palm branches. They were palm branches. Now, if you take the time to go into the Word, and you look in Leviticus 23, verse 40, Joel chapter 1, verse 12, you'll see that a palm branch represents joy and triumph. Joy and triumph. So it wasn't that they just took them down, because that's what they took them down specifically for that reason, because there was great joy and there was great triumph going on. That's what the people saw. That's what the people thought. And they expressed that like that. You know, when we have fireworks on our 4th of July, those fireworks to some people may just look like whatever. But to people who know our country's history, know that those fireworks represent our freedom. Those fireworks represent the battles that have been fought, the men who have lost their life, and our independence and our freedom. See? And the Bible's an Eastern book. And a palm leaf, a palm branch, meant something. And they used it. It didn't say they picked a sycamine branch. See, because that was a fruit that was fed to pigs. A sycamine tree with the fruit from there. It said that they took a palm branch. And they did it for that reason. Now, Luke 19, verse 41, talking about the identical record, adds some light to Mark chapter 11. And in Luke 19, verse 41, it says, "And when he," talking about Jesus, "was come near, he beheld the city, and wept over it," and wept over it. Okay? The word, all right, he wept over it. The word wept, or weep, wept, it doesn't mean that he shed a few tears. The word in the Greek means he wailed. He wailed. He was just crying. He wailed as he overlooked the city of Jerusalem from the western slope of the Mount of Olives. His heart was rent for Jerusalem. And then, after this great pain that he was feeling and expression, because he knew what was going to happen, he prophesied of Jerusalem's destruction. And that broke his heart. It was the end of God's people, so to speak. It was the end of an era. It was the end of a time. Because up to now, they had a chance. He had presented the word of God to them. He had presented himself to them. But they rejected him. And in rejecting him, they rejected God. In verse 42, this is what he said. "If thou, Jerusalem, hast known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee, that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side. And they shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation." They didn't know what was going on. Some of them did. And even some of them that did believe on him in the political religious circles, it says they dare not confess them, for they had fear that they would be put out of the synagogue, because they loved the praise of men better than the praise of God. They were afraid. Luke 19, verses 41 through 44, take place between Mark chapter 11, verses 10 and 11. Okay? It's on the first visitation where Luke 19 that I just read you, and that prophecy of the destruction. In Mark chapter 11, go back to verse 10. "Blessed be the kingdom of our father David, and cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And then he stops. He looks over Jerusalem. And he weeps bitterly. He ponders it. And then he prophesies of their destruction. And then Jesus entered into Jerusalem, verse 11, and into the temple. And when he had looked round about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the what?
12.
Okay, now just follow it through. It says that he looked round about on all things, and eventide was come, he went out. He went out of where?
Jerusalem.
He went out of the temple. He went out of Jerusalem. And he went unto where?
Bethany
with the what?
12.
So why did he do that? He did that because the day was coming to an end. The ninth of Nisan was coming to an end. He turned around, he did what he did, and then he went with the 12 back to Bethany to stay, to sleep. Now look at verse 12, Mark chapter 11. And this is where you got to pay attention to time. Time in the Word of God. And on the morrow, when they were come from where?
Bethany.
He was hungry. Where did they go the night before?
Bethany.
Bethany. They went there to sleep. Okay? Now, it says on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany. So, this is what? It's the next day. The ninth was a Friday. Okay? The next day after Friday is what?
Saturday.
Do you know what Saturday also is?
Sabbath.
It's the Sabbath. It's the Sabbath. And it's also the 10th of Nisan. Okay? It's the 10th of Nisan. It's a Saturday. And it's the next day. And it says he was come from Bethany and he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if happily he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. He saw the fig tree on what day? The 10th of Nisan. On a what?
Sabbath.
That was a what?
Sabbath.
Sabbath day. Did he see the tree on the 9th of Nisan?
No.
What did he do on the 9th of Nisan?
He
went into where?
Jerusalem.
Okay. Went back to Bethany. Next morning, the 10th, he sees the fig tree. Okay? It says he came to it because he was hungry. And he found nothing on it but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. Verse 13. Verse 14 says, and Jesus said unto it, unto the tree. He's talking to the tree. No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples what? Forever's, that's an end, isn't it? It's not like, well, maybe, or next year. Remember the record in the Gospels where the master talks to one of his servants and he said, look, I've had this tree for 3 years. It ain't produced nothing. Cut it down. And the servant turns around and says, look, let me hedge it around. Let me dig around. Let me water it. Let me fertilize it. Give it one more year. If it produces, fine. If not, Colombian necktie. We get rid of it. Right? That's not what Jesus said. Nobody talked to him and said, just give him another year. Give him another Jesus said, for what?
Forever.
That's terminal. That's right?
Not sleeping.
No, that's what he said. Forever. In Palestine, fig trees produced crops of small edible buds in March followed by the appearance of large green leaves. And trust me, they are large green leaves, because even an American fig tree, of which I have one, those leaves are big. They can get a foot across. Okay? They're big. This early green fruit, known as a bud, was common food for the local peasants. An absence of these buds, despite the tree's green foliage promising their presence, indicated it would bear no fruit that year. In other words, the tree had the leaves, the tree looked healthy, it was a 20-footer. You know what that means? You know what a 20-footer means? Yes, you do. When you go to a car show, right, and you walk past the car, we got these things called 20-footers. And that means this. They look good from 20 foot away. But when you get close, not so good. Right? Yeah, that was the tree. This tree was a 20-footer. 20 foot away, 50 feet away. Oh, look at that. Nice, big, succulent green leaves. Tall, fat. But when you got up there, no buds. No buds. In other words, it was deceiving. The tree to look at from a distance, on a cursory level, just at a glance, looked good, looked healthy, looked like it was thriving, like it was producing fruit. See? And you're going to see that a fig tree, throughout the Word of God, meant different things. But many times, a fig tree was indicative of Israel's fellowship with God. Israel's fellowship with God. Israel's relation with God. How Israel was doing with the Father. See? And so what Jesus saw, and what the disciples saw and the apostles saw, they saw something that looked good, but upon closer inspection, they saw that that which was necessary to produce fruit wasn't there. Was missing. And without that bud, everybody knows that you're not going to get a fig later. You're not going to get a fig. Well, eventually the buds would drop off and a normal crop of figs would be formed, and they would ripen late in May and in June, and that's the fig season in Palestine. Thus it was reasonable for Jesus, shortly before the Passover, to expect to find something edible on the fig tree, even though it was not the season for figs. And you know where I got that information? Out of a commentary that was written probably in the 1800s. Isn't that interesting? Biblically, a fig tree is often associated with Israel's status before God. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 13, you can read that if you want. Hosea 2:12, Joel 1:7, and of course Isaiah 34:4. These are some scriptures that will show you that truth. Now, Mark 11, back to verse 12, it says, "And on the morrow," we're talking about the 10th of Nisan. We're talking about Saturday. We're talking about the Sabbath. "On the morrow, when they were come from Bethany," he was hungry. Let's go down to verse 15. You know, he went to the tree, didn't find anything on it. Pick it up in verse 15. And it says, "And they were come to Jerusalem." Okay, hold it there. They were come to Jerusalem. He came to Jerusalem the 9th of Nisan on Friday. On a what? On a colt. On a colt. He sent them to get them, remember? They took their garments, they put them down. They cut palm trees down, branches down, they put them down. He went there. Before he went in, he stopped. He cried profusely. He prophesied of Jerusalem's destruction. He went into Jerusalem. He went into the temple. He looked around. And then he left with his apostles, and he went to where? Bethany. Bethany. Verse 15 of Mark 11. And they came, and they come to Jerusalem. They come to Jerusalem on the morrow, the next day. He sees the fig tree afar off. He goes up to the tree, curses the tree, right? Mm-hmm. Where's he headed?
To Jerusalem.
Eventually, but to Jerusalem. Jesus went into the temple, and he began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers, and the seats of them that sold what? And he would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer? But ye have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and the chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people were astonished at his doctrine. And when the eve was come, he went out of the city. So that's the end of the day. So the second day, okay, the second day he comes. The first day, gets a colt, comes in, garments, palm leaves, drives up, stops at the crown, looks at Jerusalem, weeps bitterly, prophesies over it, goes down into Jerusalem, people around shouting, Hosanna in the highest, say the kingdom of David, so forth and so on. Goes into Jerusalem, goes into the temple, spies the place out, looks at what's going on. Turns around, takes his men, and he leaves, goes to Bethany to sleep. The next day, he comes from Bethany. And while he's coming back to Jerusalem, this is going to be the second entry into Jerusalem. He sees a fig tree. Fig tree looks good, but it's a 20-footer. When he gets up close, no buds. He knows that if it doesn't have a bud, it's not going to ever produce any fruit. And he curses it. And he continues down. And he goes into Jerusalem, into the temple. And then when he's there the second day, he does what? Throws the tables over, gets rid of the seats where they're selling doves, all this stuff. He's real upset. And he's real upset because they messed up the temple. They messed up the house of the Lord. They defiled it. Okay? And when the day was over, well, then he teaches them. The people were astonished at his doctrine. How were they astonished at it? Because he was teaching them. You understand? He heals people. You're going to see that in another record. And then he leaves. And it says, when the eve was come, he went out of the city. He went out of the city. When Jesus went into the temple during his second entry, he was completely familiar with the traditions of the temple market. The temple market was situated in the outer courts of the temple. There, merchants exchanged money and sold wine, salt, oil, sacrificial animals, and other necessities used by the worshipers. The market was a lucrative business for both the merchants and the religious leaders of the temple. However, the sin to which Jesus objected, was not that the lucrative commerce was being conducted in the temple area, but rather the corruption and hypocrisy was involved. The selling of second-rate goods at first-rate prices to be offered to God, where you should be given your best. And that was set right way back in the book of Genesis with the offerings that Cain and Abel gave. And you realize that you never give God second or third. The temple market had become dishonest. It was a den of thieves. Jesus was not in any way cruel or physically abusive to the men. He just pointedly told them, get out. And although he didn't touch any of the merchants, he did overthrow their tables and their seats. Okay. This marks Jesus' second entry into Jerusalem. When Jesus entered Jerusalem on the 10th of Nisan, he went to the temple as he had done on the previous day, but this time he didn't simply look around and go back to Bethany. This time he overthrew the merchants' tables and he taught the people. The Gospel of Matthew fills in some of the events that happened on the 10th of Nisan that the Gospel of Mark does not record. If you want, you can go to Matthew. If not, you can just listen. Chapter 21. Matthew 21. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethpage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples. So they were coming from Bethany. Okay. They drew nigh. They came to Bethpage unto the Mount of Olives. They were coming nigh unto Jerusalem. They were heading towards Jerusalem. Okay. Jesus sends forth two disciples. Verse 2. Saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose him. Don't say that. What's it say?
Them.
Loose them. Them is what?
Plural.
Them is plural. More than one, right? And bring him. No, bring what?
Them.
Them. More than one. Plural. Unto who? Me. And if any man say all unto thee, you shall say the Lord had need of them. Have need of what?
Them.
And straightway he will send him. No, what?
Them.
All this was done and it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Sion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. How many animals are involved here?
Two.
Two. And the disciples went, and as Jesus, and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought an ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they did set him thereon. Now on the 9th of Nisan, which records Jesus' first entry into Jerusalem, he rode on a colt only. One animal. Thus he came in judgment. On the 10th, when he came back and made his second entry into Jerusalem, he came on an ass and a colt, the foal of an ass. Two animals. Now, go back to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. So, on the 10th, he comes from Bethany, gets to Bethpage near the Mount of Olives. He's heading towards Jerusalem. He sends two of his disciples. He says, get me a colt and an ass. If anybody says unto you, what are you doing? Say, the Lord has need of them, and he'll give them to you. The disciples go and do what Jesus said. They get a colt in the ass. They bring them back. They put their clothes on them. You're going to see in other records, they straw palms again and this sort of thing. And he sits on one and he goes in. But there were two animals involved. He gets to Jerusalem, gets off of the animal, goes into the temple. What's he do? Clears it out. Right? Teaches the people, heals some people. Pharisees get real ticked off. People get astonished at his doctrine. Mark 11, verse 19. And when eve was come, he went out of the what?
City.
The city. That's the ending of the 10th of Nisan. Now, one of the things you got to understand in the Bible is that time ends at sunset and begins at sunset. Okay? So for sake of illustration, 7 o'clock, I guess. Sunsets around here, whatever. I don't know if it's over that way, same thing. But it's not 12 midnight. It's not 12 midnight. So that's the period of time that we're talking about now. Somewhere 6, 7, somewhere in there. Now look at Exodus chapter 12, please. See, I want to give you all this background so I can address believing. Because I want to give you the context of what's going on, what he's thinking, where his mind is, what portion of his ministry is he in. He's in the end of his ministry, right? He's about to be crucified. He's about to be offered. All these things are going on, okay? He sees the fig tree, representative of Israel. Looks good. Beautiful. But upon closer inspection, you know what? Dead as a doornail. Dead as a doornail. Same with religion sometimes. Looks good. Beautiful. Nice windows, nice this, nice that. Upon closer inspection, doesn't have the word. Dead as a doornail. And he says, no more. It's over. Exodus 12, verse 3. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an what?
House.
Exodus 12 teaches us about the first Passover. Exodus 12 also teaches us that on the 10th day of the month, the lamb was selected. At that point in time, it was called the month of Abib. It was changed to Nisan later. Nisan 10 was the day that the Passover lamb was selected. And it was supposed to be kept up to the 14th. And then it was to be killed between the evenings. Remember, you can read about it in Exodus 12. Jesus Christ makes his second entry into Jerusalem on the 10th of what?
Nisan.
The 10th of Nisan. Another point here is that Saturday, the Sabbath, the 10th of Nisan, which terminated at sunset, was when Jesus went into Jerusalem the second time. First of all, Jesus cursed the fig tree that it would bear no fruit. He then entered into Jerusalem with two animals, indicating the blessing that he was bringing to Israel. With the masses of Jerusalem looking on, Jesus was selected as God's Passover lamb in front of everybody. You read in 1 Corinthians 5:7 that Jesus Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Okay? Where people were to pick out the lamb in the Old Testament, God himself chose the Passover lamb here on the 10th of Nisan. The book of John teaches us that the great John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God which take away the sin of the world. John recognized who he was. He was the Lamb of God. He was the Lamb that God picked. He then cleansed the temple, healed the sick, taught the word of God, and once again the religious leaders were irate and frustrated by Jesus Christ's show of power and boldness. Again, they vowed to destroy him. Finally, Jesus returned to lodge in Bethany, with the family of Lazarus, who loved him. And you can see that in other Gospels. Thus, Saturday, the 10th of Nisan, drew to a close. Okay? Mark 11. We're going to close here. So you don't have to worry. It's a two-part teaching. Verse 20. 11:20. And in the morning. In the morning. Okay? What does that tell you? It's the next day. What is it? Sunday. It's the 11th. Right? So in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up what? From the roots. They saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Okay? Trees don't die this fast. You know, even if you use Weed Be Gone, you can't kill a tree that fast. It takes time. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. Is withered away. So Peter sees the manifestation of what happened. And he brings Jesus' attention to him, to it. And we're going to stop there. And we're going to pick up again. Because this all precedes believing. And praying, and believing that you have what you when you pray, and this sort of thing. Okay, and we'll follow it through a day and show you where the time is. This way, you can get to the place where, oh, he did this, he did this, he did this. Now he's at the tree. It's the third day. It's after the second entrance. Peter says, "Master, behold, the tree that thou cursest is what?
Withered away.
Withered away. Withered away."
You're saying that when they came in on the colt the first time in Jerusalem, that represented he was
judging.
Is there a significance when he comes in the second time?
Yeah, for animals? Blessing.
That's a blessing.
Yeah, but they refused it. Peace. Maybe, but I know that
kings used to come in and ride on donkeys at peace at the end of a war because it was a peace time, and horses when it was time of war.
Well, that could be. But the scriptures that I gave you that were indicative of them, if you look them up, you'll see that they correspond with blessing and judgment. But they refused. So let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thanks that we can continue to learn and study it. And not that we could gain head knowledge from it or quote dates or times, but we can see the principles in it and have it tenderize our heart that we don't look good on the outside, Father, and we're not really what we should be according to your word, that we want to produce fruit for you, that we want to not only look good, but we want to look good because we're bearing fruit because of the Christ inside of us. We want to be genuine. So thank you, Father, for helping us do this. Thank you for helping us overcome our trials and tribulations. And thank you, Father, that we don't go and try to fight it by ourselves, that when it gets too tough, that we can call out your name and that we can claim in the name of Jesus Christ, you have given us the victory. And if we have to do that over and over again, thus saith the Lord, so we do, and we become faithful. So I thank you, Father, for this evening, and thank you for what you do for us in Jesus' precious name. Amen.